Zone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome back in the Todd Bromelkamp Show, along with Alex Kuhn. A busy Friday here in the KGYM studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. The big hour coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com will stop by. We're going to have James Daniels with us tonight. We'll talk about his decision to leave the Iowa football program to head for the NFL. You're not going to want to miss it. The big hour brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement in Iowa City. And while we're talking about the Hawkeyes, got to look back to last night's victory in Champaign. It took overtime. They had to come back from 20 points down. 104-97, Iowa finally breaks into the win column. Joining us now to talk about that and more, assistant coach Sherm Dillard. It's been a while since we've chatted with you, Sherm, but it's been a really difficult Big Ten season for you guys. Last night had to have been a happy trip back to Iowa City.
Well, you know what? I have to credit the guys for staying the course. To your point, it has been a little bit of a difficult season for us to date, but we were able to put it together, particularly that second half. And, you know, we didn't fold. After the half, we were down 13. We came back and had a great deal of energy to start the half and played through that. And then the situation at the end of regulation where the guy hits this unbelievable three, and a lot of teams would have folded at that point, but you could see and our guys, they had to look that, you know what, we're going to win this game. And I think somebody on the bench, may have been Tyler Cook, mentioned that we're going to win this thing by 10. And so, again, I give the credit to the guys for sticking in there and having the perseverance.
Coach, given those two bits of adversity that you talked about, being down 20 and then the somewhat miraculous three at the end, how encouraging was it to see your team keep their wits about them and collect their first victory, especially on the road?
Well, as a coach, you're always looking for that grit, that fight in the team, and obviously we have never shown to quit. We just haven't been able to put it together for 40 minutes. And as you very well know, we've had some slippage during games. We have a tendency to play in spurts, but to see a team on the road, based on our schedule and where we were in terms of our record, to see them fight through that adversity and come from behind 20 points down and fight and stay together and stay connected defensively. I thought our zone was pretty good last night. I thought we were active defensively. And again, you know, Illinois is a team that comes out and they play really tough, tenacious defense. They're getting your space. They're going to deny passing lanes. And I think we were able to handle that pressure. We were able to execute and able to get some good shots when we needed to. And on the other side of the ball, we were able to get some stops.
Iowa assistant basketball coach Sherm Dillard joining us on the program. Iowa back in action Wednesday night at Rutgers. They'll conclude this three-game road swing of Big Ten play. And Sherm, I think a lot of people probably look back to last night's game and they ask the question, how can you guys use that win to build off of moving forward?
Well, you know, I think in every game we played this year, you learn something from a loss. I think that we have to believe, and I think having a chance to win like that on the road with those circumstances gives us a sense of hope that, you know, we have it in us. And as a coaching staff, we've been preaching that all year long. I think it gives the guys something to hang their hat on and say, you know what, we can do this. I thought last night we played for one another. I thought we shared the basketball. And a lot of times you can continue to think good things going to happen, but until it materializes, you never believe it's going to happen. And I always thought, and I think coaches have this optimistic outlook, that good things were on the horizon, that there was light at the end of the tunnel. And by playing the way we did last night, I think it gives this team a kind of a new beginning, if you will. You know, we can't go back and rewrite the beginning, but we can start right now and change the ending of the situation. And so there's a lot of basketball to be played. This is the first step forward in the right direction, and we're going to hopefully build on this. Don't let tomorrow when we get back to practice. We gave them the day off today, and but tomorrow you can expect the 100 group to come in here feeling good about themselves, yet being understanding that there's a lot more work to be done.
Now, Coach, I think a lot of freshmen go through that inevitable adjustment period, but how have you seen Luka Garza respond to that inevitable rough patch that all freshmen go through, that he went through much of November and into December?
Well, as we know, Luka got up to a really good start for us, and I never like to say freshmen hit this wall. You know, obviously, as teams begin to scout us, we get into conference play, you know, other teams are looking at him as a pretty darn good player. And I think it takes a strong mindset to be able to fight through those periods where things aren't going your way. And Luka is a very focused player, very determined in his approach to the game. He got in the gym and continued to work. He didn't get down on himself. And basically, he was ready for his opportunity. And last night, it just saw the second half and also in overtime, he was the difference maker for us. And he got back to getting rebounds out of his space, which he's very good at. Offensive rebound, he's terrific at. And made some clutch buckets for us. And that's the Luka Garza that I know and I saw in high school. And the Luka Garza that was that exhibited that kind of play at the beginning of the season. And we certainly hope he can keep that kind of play up.
Jordan Bohannon led you guys in scoring last night, another big game for the former Linmar standout. How has he gotten better his second year in the program?
Well, you know, again, if you look at scouting reports and people are saying we got to stop Jordan Bohannon because of his ability to knock down the three ball, he's under a great deal of duress. Teams have started to get into him a little bit more and pressuring him. And I think, again, that which doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I've seen his maturity and development in handling that pressure, knowing that people are coming at him hard. You know, last year we had Peter Jock to take some of that pressure off our guys. Now this year on the perimeter is Jordan Bohannon. Isaiah Moss has been able to give him some relief on the perimeter. But I thought he handled the pressure very well last night that Illinois threw at him. And his ability to be able to knock down clutch shots, some of those deep shots. You know, I teased him last night, I think, and I think you took one step above over half court and launched one at one time. And he said, I thought it was going in. But that's the kind of confidence this young man has. He plays with a great deal of moxie. And as we very well know, if he plays well like that and he's making shots, it opens up a lot of things for everybody, particularly on the interior for us.
You talk about Jordan Bohannon getting a little bit more pressure. Is Tyler Cook kind of going through the same thing in his second year in the program? And for those two, how difficult is it to kind of let the game come to them and not try to force things?
Yeah, it's that happy medium. You know, they are marked on scouting reports. And, you know, as you know, Tyler has been double-teamed quite a bit. They are coming at him from all angles. Yet he has to be able to pick and choose the spots. We like to see him roll into the post as opposed to being stationary or stagnant in the post. And I think, again, it's a process. He's learning how to move without the basketball. He's learning how to play on the perimeter. He's learning when to drive or when to 1-2 dribble pull up and kick it. His passing has improved from last year. But as you very well know, he's a tough guard. He's tough to handle down low when he gets it. And what he's been working on is being able to get deeper post position. And by that, I mean getting at least 1 foot in the paint. And when he does that, when he catches it that deep, he's awfully tough to stop. And you saw last night his ability to put the ball on the floor. But it is a process for him. And every game, he has to come and bring his A game. The thing that I thought stood out with Tyler last night was his rebounding. I thought he did an excellent job. He had 13 rebounds. And it was only his second double-double of the season. We expect more out of him, and I know that's been a little bit demanding, but I think he's capable of a double-double each and every night.
Who's got the scout for the Rutgers game on Wednesday?
Andrew Francis has that scout. He's had him for the last 2 years and, you know, has him down and had terrific. I happened to watch that game against Michigan State on TV, and for all intents and purposes, they had every opportunity to win that basketball game. You know, in this conference, you know, teams come out and play with a lot of intensity and a lot of energy, and I thought they played hungry. They got shot makers. They got playmakers. Corey Sanders is a hard guard and got to work hard at keeping them out of the paint, and Freeman and stuff, and versatile forward they have. And it'll be a tough game for us, but again, I think we can ride this semi-wave we have after this good victory on the road. And bring that to practice. I think the 2 days of practice this week, 3 days of practice before we go, will bode well for us. But you can expect good energy in practice, and we'll be prepared for that game.
I want to talk about the young players and the freshmen again. We talked about Luca Garza, Jack Nungi. I think both of them have kind of had their spurts of showing flashes. But how delicate of a balance is it with a young player like that when you see the confidence go down just a little bit, but you realize really the only way to build that confidence is to get game time experience?
Absolutely. Both Jack and Luca are promising in terms of what they can bring to the table. And we saw Luca exhibited that last night. Jack has had good moments for us, and we see in Jack a great deal of potential. And to your point, a lot of it has to do with confidence. And I think the way you get that back, you can get it back in games, but I think you got to get back to the kitchen and get it done in practice and put together a series of good practices where he's competing, where he's being productive in practice, and Jack is doing that. And what he's now, the next step for him to do is to be able to transfer that to games. And obviously he didn't get enough minutes last night, but we have not lost confidence in him, and our job as a staff is to continue to instill confidence in him. Yet he's got to work at it also, and as I said earlier, just get in the gym, work his butt off in practice, and his opportunity will come, and I think he has to be ready for that opportunity. He has an unbelievable skill set. He's got the length. He's a good shooter from deep. The toughness needs to improve, and I think that will come in time.
Sherm, one of the big, criticisms that you guys have faced this year is your performance defensively. How do you address that moving forward and put a little bit more emphasis on trying to lock down defensively?
Well, I think we put an emphasis on it for the last 2 months, all season long. And it's a matter of individual defense. We have to shore up our individual defense. At times, we're having a difficult time of keeping people simply in front of us. We call it guarding your yard. A lot of times, we're exposed with our big lineup. We play three forwards along the back line. And as you've heard all know, the game is going more towards a smaller lineup or small ball. And so you have a 6'8", 250-pound Tyler Cook sometimes trying to go out and guard a 6'6", athletic wing, and they're taking us off the bounce. But trust me, we work hard and diligently on trying to clean that up. We have always been a team that has played multiple defenses, and at times we feel the need to be able to change defenses, go to our zone and our press and our man-to-man. But it's just a matter of everybody buying in and getting better individually. And then I think as we do that, I think we can become a better defensive team, totally. But you're right, we give up way too many points. But trust me, we're working on it each and every day, different drills, toughness drills. We went back to basics before the Illinois game, and I say basics is, one-on-one defense, 4-on-4 shell, things that we always do, but we put a bigger emphasis on it. And we try to clean up our zone. The zone is not your grandfather's zone where you just stand there and cover space. We've got to be more active in our zone and more active and not have lazy slides. And it has been a process. It really has. And we are constantly working on it. I think a lot of it has to do with personnel at times. But it has to get better for us to have a successful season, and rest assured we're working on that.
Well, what happened for you guys last night? I thought that Illinois in that first half, they knocked down 9 3-pointers. They got a bunch of open looks. In the second half, you guys seemed to lock down a little bit more. They only hit 5 3-pointers, more contested looks, and you got a bunch more stops in the second half than you did in the first half. What changed for you?
Well, I think a lot of it just has to do, I have a saying that nothing works unless you work. And a lot of it just, I thought the energy that we exhibited, connectivity was better. And the feeling that, we can win this basketball game. I could see it in the eyes of those guys in halftime. I thought Fran was terrific, and I'm not being patronizing, but I thought in terms of coming at the guys and being firm with them on this is our team. We have to create a better identity defensively if we're going to win this basketball game. And to the guys' credit, they came out and played with that fire and grit that you have to play in this league to win basketball games. And And you know, once it boils down to a lot of times just getting a succession of stops. And once we got a couple of stops, we start feeling good about ourselves, and we start changing defenses and got consecutive stops, and things start to fall for us on the offensive end. One thing we've always tried to impress upon our guys is the fact that, you know, when we're in this kind of downward spiral in the game and a little bit of a slump, if you will, offensively, we're learning that we can create some offensive energy by playing better defense and getting stops and getting runouts. Because we want to run, and if you get good stops, we can run better. We can have quick output, get into our early offense, and as I said, get some easy buckets, and that's how we got the momentum change in our direction.
Iowa assistant Sherm Dillard with us for just a few more seconds. We appreciate you taking the time to join us on a Friday. I want to go back to the Maryland game really quickly. I know you guys were not happy with the way that that game was officiated. What is there a process in place as far as reaching out to the Big Ten to express your concerns? I know Kirk Ferentz on the football side tape usually gets sent in weekly, but is there a way for you guys to communicate with the Big Ten that you're not happy about the officiating?
Well, we can express obviously how unhappy we are about officiating. There is a policy in place, a guidelines, a procedure that Fran and Gary Barton will follow. After the game, we go through clips, footage of the game, and decide some plays that we thought were a little bit controversial, if you will. And we put those clips together, and we forward it to Rick Barages. And he has a chance to review. And basically, it's up to Rick to make a determination and how he evaluates his officiating staff. But that's the extent of our ability to affect any change with that. But yes, we do have an opportunity to at least forward what we consider to be some things that needed to be reviewed.
Hey, before we let you go, also with that Maryland game, you guys are getting ready to leave the stadium, and you find out that you can't go anywhere because the plane got hit on the tarmac, and they've got to bring in a new plane. Where does that rank in 37 years as a coach? I'm sure you've got some tremendous stories about travel and getting stranded at places, but where does that rank?
That was pretty high. You know, obviously, I didn't know what to fly, to be honest with you, but they assured us that everything was okay with the plane, and thankfully, we were able to get out of there unscathed. But you're right, in the travels that we've had, in my personal travels, I've had some scary situations. But that one didn't get to the point of being that fearful, if you will. We looked into the situation. Pilot said everything was fine, and we were able to make it home safely.
All right. Best of luck next Wednesday against Rutgers, and we'll look forward to following and seeing if you guys can build off that win last night. It was fun to watch.
All righty. Thank you so much, guys. You guys are good.
Yep, thank you. Iowa assistant coach Sherm Dillard, fresh off of last night's victory. Don't know what time they got back from Champaign, but it was probably fairly late. No travel troubles as far as I can tell. And a three-game road swing. They lost at Maryland, win at Illinois, and now they go to Rutgers on Wednesday, which we've mentioned it a little bit, but Steve Peichel's got that Rutgers team playing okay basketball, and they certainly gave Michigan State a good run a couple nights ago, so that's not going to be an easy task to go into Piscataway and come out with a victory. But at this point, just encouraging to see that performance last night, because there were times down 20 points where you're thinking, man, this is it. This might be the point where they just pack it in. This is a bad Illinois team that's up 20 points on the Hawkeyes. And like Sherm said, they answered the call last night, and now it's about getting consistent, getting better defensively, and improving moving forward, and we'll see whether or not that can happen.
I think a lot of people turned the channel last night. I think a lot of people expected that the team was going to pack it in, and the team had packed it in, and things were going to continue looking the way that they did in the first half in Champaign, and probably looked at their phones halfway through, probably maybe watching the Tonya Harding story on ABC, and saw, wow, they're back within three, they're back within five, let's flip back over to FS1. So I was very impressed with the way they responded. They looked very lethargic in the first half. It looked like they had pretty much all season, and like you said, they're gonna probably be underdogs heading to Piscataway on Wednesday, and they're gonna have a chance to answer the bell once again in front of family and friends in New Jersey.
I don't check the text line until the next morning when I get back into the office, but somebody reached out last night and used the Hertin and Stocker text line to ask how I felt about the plus five, saying Iowa was a good bet last night. And I looked at the timestamp on the text, and it was in that frame where they were down 20 or 13. Well, you got to stick it out in the long run, but they had to work for it, man. They worked for it and got it, and it wasn't always pretty. This isn't a great win. Illinois is not that good of a basketball team, but when you're winless in the Big Ten, you take what you can get, and now it's about building on it and moving forward. And Sherm, if I'm not mistaken there in that segment with us, did make a reference to sort of hitting the reset button or using this as a fresh start moving forward. So we'll see whether the Hawkeyes accomplish that or not. Lots more Iowa talk to come, the 6 o'clock hour around the corner. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com will be with us as we'll chat with James Daniels, former Iowa football player, now headed off to the NFL. The Big Hour brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project with an 11% rebate on everything. Whether it's a new garage or a kitchen remodel, you'll get an 11% rebate on all of it. The bigger the project, the bigger the savings. There's no limit to how much you can save now during the 11% rebate sale at Menards. Good through January 13th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Okay, everybody, I've called this brainstorm because senior management says we need big ideas. So, what have you got?
Well, Dave, how about we...
No.
Okay, we could try the...
Stupid.
What if we started charging employees to use the bathroom?
I love that idea. That's what I'm talking about.
Thanks, Dad.
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
5:26, welcome back in. The Todd Brommelkamp Show along with Alex Kuhn. The 5 o'clock hour drive time driven by Linder Tire. Check them out online, lindertire.com, or in person, Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. If you do go to lindertire.com right now, you can get some online, pause, wait for me to say it correctly, coupons. $60 off a set of four Hankook tires, $60 off a set of four Nokian tires as well, plus they're running a $33.95 winter maintenance special. LinderTire.com, the sponsor for the 5 o'clock hour here on Fridays of the Todd Brommelkamp Show. Coupon. I will never say coupon again as long as I live. Coupon. It doesn't sound right, but I want to be in the majority. I want to be able to look down my nose at people like me who say coupon, and I want to...
It just doesn't seem like that big of a deal.
Well, I'm telling you, I lost a little bit of sleep over it last night. It was either that or my son waking up in the middle of the night to cough because of his cold, but I'd like to think that I was losing the sleep because of the pronunciation of the word. 319-366-1600, Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com is with us momentarily, but before we can let him in the building, Kyle's got to get a Midwest One Bank big board update out of the way. Midwest One, where you're the one.
It didn't always look like it was going to happen, but the Iowa men got their first conference victory last night in overtime on the road at Illinois, 104-97. They trailed by as many as 20 points in the first half, but came alive offensively and on the boards in the second. The second half in overtime saw the Hawkeyes commit only 6 turnovers and, just as importantly, claim a 27-14 rebounding advantage. The Illini even hit a potentially devastating game-tying three at the buzzer, but Iowa went on to get the victory in overtime. Luca Garza had 19-11, Tyler Cook had 21-13, and Jordan Bohannon scored a game-high 29. The win by Iowa is the first conference victory for Iowa's three state universities. It's one Cyclone in and one Cyclone out for the Utah Jazz. They'll reportedly be signing forward George Niang to a two-way deal. So he's going to be spending time with the Salt Lake City Stars, but that also came with the waiving of Naz Mitrulung. Niang is averaging 18 points, 6 rebounds, and nearly 5 assists per game, formerly with the Warriors G League affiliate. Tonight after the show, we're going to have a pair of high school games for you. On 1600 AM, the historic main gym will have the Prairie Boys hosting Waterloo East beginning at 7:30. And at the same time, we'll also have the girls from Cedar Rapids, Washington, traveling to Iowa City West on our FM frequencies. We'll also have nonstop action for you tomorrow, including the Iowa State men hosting Baylor on 1600 at 1 o'clock, followed by the Falcons and Eagles, and then the Titans and Patriots in a pair of NFL divisional matchups.
All right, Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com is here. He's going to be stepping in for Alex, who's got some high school basketball to call tonight. You can check out the full schedule, KGYMRadio.com. In the meantime, make sure you're voting in the poll question. Which underdog has the best chance to pull off an upset this weekend in the NFL playoffs? Emil's Hideaway bringing you the poll question, KGYMRadio.com. Vote early, vote often. First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to Home Depot. It's where you can find Emil's Hideaway. Love it or leave it on the way. And then inside the 6 o'clock hour, Rob and I are going to get caught up with James Daniels, who's making his way to the NFL, leaving his Hawkeye football career behind. We'll also discuss what took place in Champaign last night as the Hawkeyes finally break into the win column. It took overtime and a 20-point comeback. They're saying it's the third largest comeback in school history. Pretty impressive to do that on the road, especially with the weight of that losing streak on their backs. But the Hawkeyes officially winners in the Big Ten for the first time this year as they get ready to head to Rutgers next Wednesday. Love it or leave it is on the way. 1600 AM, 106.3 FM, 107.5 FM. The Todd Brommelkamp Show will continue after this.
Whew, sorry I'm late. Ready to tee off?
Dude, you're glowing gold.
Yeah, stopped by Shell on the way to the course and got rewarded with instant gold status.
Cool. Does it do anything?
Yeah, it saves me 5 cents per gallon on every fill every day.
Whoa.
And it crushes the long ball. Watch this. Nope, it just saves at Shell.
Get rewarded at Shell when you join the Fuel Rewards program now at fuelrewards.com/gold. Restrictions apply. Active gold status required. Introductory offer valid for 6 months after activation. Limit 20 gallons per transaction at participating Shell stations. See fuelrewards.com/gold for details. Doesn't actually turn bodies gold.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. After missing the last two games of the regular season, Steelers wideout Antonio Brown is expected to play against the Jaguars in the divisional playoffs on Sunday. He did not practice today with an illness. Brown hasn't played in a game since partially tearing a calf muscle against the Patriots in Week 15. The Jags beat the Steelers back in Week 5, but defensive lineman Malik Jackson says that was a long time ago.
They got better. You know, of course, that was early in the season, but they worked themselves to become the three Pro Bowlers and the one All-Pro they had. You know what I'm saying? So as far as that O-line, I think that they've done tremendous things. They've gotten better in the season, just like we got better in the season.
Malik Jackson on Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio. Saints wideout Brandon Coleman out for Sunday's game with the Vikings. He has a neck injury. Warriors point guard Steph Curry out for tonight's game against the Bucks with a sprained right ankle. That game opens up our Friday night ESPN doubleheader starting at 8 Eastern in Milwaukee. In the second game, the Rockets meet the Suns in Phoenix. The Orioles signed third baseman Manny Machado, 1 year, $16 million.
Mike Golic here. Coming up Monday, reaction to the divisional round bouts across the NFL and previewing the conference championships with Tim Hasselbeck and Ryan Clark. Monday, Golic and Wingo, 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2.
When the game is on the line, you put the ball in the hands of your best player because they always perform under pressure. And at Valvoline, we too believe performance comes from hands-on expertise. That's why we created Valvoline Full Synthetic, specially formulated to provide maximum engine protection against friction and wear. So when performance counts, put your engine in the right hands. Valvoline, 150 years under the hood. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts now and buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic and an oil filter starting at just $33.99. See store for restrictions and details.
So, Sarah, you know, one of the toughest things about being on tour is sleeping in a bunk area with a bunch of guys that all snore. I love my beauty sleep. A night of snoring puts me in such a bad mood in the morning.
Your beauty sleep. I love it. You know, I've been listening to ESPN Radio enough to know that you should have told the guys to get a Zipa. It's estimated that 90 million people in the U.S. snore, which means there's tens of millions of people like you on the tour bus that didn't get to sleep at night because they sleep next to a snorer. So if you want to stop snoring, you need to get a Zipa. Go to ZYPPAH.com. That's Zipa.com.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
Learning where your DNA comes from with 23andMe.com might just inspire you to explore your connection to the world, like Kate. 45% of Kate's DNA is from the British Isles, so she took a little bike trip through Scotland. And 10% of her DNA is from North Africa, so she paid a call to Morocco. Order a DNA kit with 23andMe.com today and let your 23 pairs of chromosomes show you another way to experience the world. Get over 75 reports on ancestry, health traits, and more at 23andMe.com.
5:35, welcome back in the 5 o'clock hour drive time, driven by Linder Tire, right here on the Todd Brommelkamp Show. Happy to be with you till 7 o'clock tonight. Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com taking over for Alex, who will have some Iowa City West girls basketball for you tonight. Check the schedule at KGYMRadio.com to find out what you'll be hearing after 7 this evening. Lots to get to this weekend. I know we've got a ton of high school basketball games on tap tomorrow from the U.S. Cellular Center. NFL playoff action, we'll get everything covered for you. It's just a matter of finding it on which frequency, KGYMRadio.com. While you're there, vote in our poll question tonight. Which underdog this weekend in the NFL has the best chance of pulling off an upset? Emil's Hideaways on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. James Daniels set to join us in about half an hour. He's aware that we're going to be getting in touch with him, which is always a good thing. We'll find out what the decision process was like for him to leave Iowa to head for the NFL and what his next steps are as he readies himself for a career in the NFL. Rob, you look a little cold.
Yes, it's a little nippy out there. And
I'm sorry that we left you outside, but you arrived right as Kyle was starting to read his big board update, and then there was a little miscommunication as to who was going to let you into the building, but we were behind the eight ball there, so to speak. So
poor timing. Story of my life.
Get warmed up, and if you need to put your coat back, I haven't taken mine off since I got back from lunch today. But we're going to get into this in the third and final hour. But before we start, love it or leave it, just good to see the Hawkeyes break into the win column last night.
Yeah, and I was listening to you guys on the way up, and it was a good interview with Sherm, and didn't look good in that first half. That was, and it's funny to watch social media and our message boards, the reaction when they got down like that, you know, that the season's over and this game's over and just that.
I said it last night, yeah. And I, you know, I won't say I got crucified for it, but there were a couple people that
I saw somebody at Iowa pointed it
somebody
out.
Somebody at Iowa pointed it out to me. I don't lose any sleep over that. That's their job. You know what? Yeah. He gets paid to watch out for his program, and he's a good guy, and I'd like to think that we're friends, but throw a little shade at me. I would like to think that I'm a big enough man that I can take it. Not as tall as he is, but I'm a big enough guy.
No, even, he's a tall drink of water.
Even with the weight. You know what? I kind of laughed about it last night at 1:30 in the morning as I was trying to get my brain to shut off. Hawkeyes next up for them, Rutgers on Wednesday night. We'll get into this a little bit more in the 6 o'clock hour, but it is Friday. Time to do Love It or Leave It.
If you don't love it, leave it. Let the song that I'm singing be a warning.
Two choices, one answer.
We either love it or we leave it.
It's okay. Ricky gave us permission to do this.
So we want to make sure moving forward that we have the okay to call that segment Love It or Leave It. Since you're sort of the owner.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Fine with that.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Number one.
Rob, no accountability.
Yeah, this is going back a little bit here. Sunday night at in Maryland.
It was a well-officiated game. I don't know what you're talking about. Just ask Cordell Pemsel.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure his neck is probably still. I thought he would be wearing one of those neck braces last night.
Give him the brace out on the court just to try to send a message? Yeah.
Yeah, that I won't go through all the instances where there were questionable calls in that game, but there were plenty of them. And, you know, I think the for me, that the referees don't have any accountability in those situations. And I understand they have a really hard job. I definitely respect what they do. But Chad Lystico, who was, I believe, the only Iowa media member who was there at that game, requested to a pool reporter to speak with the referees, which is a very reasonable request, was denied by the Big Ten office for some, I don't know, I just thought very soft reasoning with that. It was... they said it was more for rule issues or something controversial that is not, you know, maybe one, you know, looking at one team. It's more of an overall, you know, issue in the game than, you know, it being one team, and that both reporters from both teams needed to request a, you know, the pool reporter. I just, to me, there needs to be some more accountability because officials. To me, recently, whatever the sport is, whether it's the NFL or whatever, officials are becoming more part of the game, and there needs to be some accountability there. I don't think you need to grill them and hammer them after every game, but I think they should be available for comment. So to just say, no, we're not going to let you hear from these guys, I'm going to leave that.
Number two.
Winning.
Yeah, why not? Novel concept for... all three of the state's basketball teams, but they finally broke into the win column last night. Iowa with the victory in Champaign, and now you and I and Iowa State get to hopefully exercise their demons. Iowa State, I think, has a great shot of doing that against Baylor tomorrow, but it just, how can you not love seeing one of the teams finally win? And as you alluded to earlier, it didn't come easy. They were down 20 points. I read the notes just like you did. The third largest comeback in school history. Gardner Webb is not the type of name that I would have expected to be at the top of the list, but I think that was 23 points back in 2012, and then there was another major comeback against the Illini in the mid-80s, back when both programs were playing really great high-level basketball. But you come from 20 points down on the road, especially when you've got the stigma of being winless in the Big Ten. I do think it says something about an Iowa team that a number of people, myself included, have questioned whether or not their hearts were necessarily in it at this point. But they didn't pack it in last night, and to their credit, they did enough, especially on the road, to win that game.
Number three.
1-3-1.
Yes, not an area code, but Iowa's defense in late in that second half and in overtime last night, the 1-3-1 half-court zone, which makes a lot of sense, and I do love this, and I think it's something they can do moving forward. As they were struggling here recently, I've written that I felt like the zone defense was something that this team could maybe hang its hat on if it got better at it. Practiced it more, and became more active in it. And I really like the 1-3-1 because it's kind of a shorter, and not kind of, it is a shorter version of what they do well in that 1-3-1 three-quarter court press where they trap, and you have somebody like Nicholas Bear or Jack Nungi or an athletic guy who's long out on front of that thing that can get in passing lanes, and it really frustrated Illinois last night and late in that second half and in overtime. You had, you know, Bear was at the top of that thing. Maishi Daly was at the top of that thing. If you have long athletic guys and put them at the front of that 1-3-1 zone, you can get in the passing lanes, make it tough for guys to see, and make them rush in the shot clock because it's so hard for them to find passing lanes. So I love the 1-3-1 zone, and I hope we see more of it.
Number four.
Bear down, Bears fans.
I am going to love this, even though it makes life tougher for my particular favorite team in the NFC North, but this Matt Nagy hire continues to intrigue me. Mark Helfrich, the former Oregon head coach, is the offensive coordinator. Today, the Bears announced that Vic Fangio is going to stick around as the defensive coordinator. There have been some very interesting additions to Matt Nagy's first staff that have been made over the last couple of days. None more so, though, to me than Helfrich, because I think that's a good indication of what the Bears may be trying to do offensively in this day and age of football. And it's going to be very unlike anything that we've ever seen out of the Chicago Bears. And I don't know why their fans have been so apprehensive to talk about the changes over the last couple of days. You mentioned the Bears and try to get them to call or share their thoughts, and you get absolutely nothing. And then the Vikings fans today, they couldn't resist picking up the phone or hitting the text line. But I think the Bears made a really inspired, great hire, and I'm looking forward to seeing how this plays out, because I do think it's a little bit of a game changer in that division. And whether or not it works out, that remains to be seen, but this is Ryan Pace's direction, and Matt Nagy wanted to coach Mitchell Trubisky when he was with the Chiefs. He didn't get that chance, but he's going to get it now as the head coach there.
Number five.
Brighter days.
Yes. We got Kirk Ferentz on Wednesday at a press conference. Unlike the last 3 years, we didn't get a depth chart, which I thought was interesting in January. But I think part of that is because there are a lot of positions that are going to be contested in this spring. And I think the coaches probably feel better about, rather than putting that depth chart out there, they'd rather just kind of keep that in-house and then maybe put a depth chart out in spring where it doesn't have as much momentum or have as much time to stew within people, you know, just kind of speculating over what's going on. But Kirk on Wednesday, and he's not a guy for hyperbole, was very complimentary. The James Daniels comments were caught a lot of people off guard, I think. He hasn't talked about juniors like that in the past that are leaving early for the NFL. But what comments really caught me were his comments about the offense and the ability for it to take a step forward and have brighter days ahead. And I love this. I think that the potential is certainly there. He pointed out, and I think it probably got lost just in some of the struggles on offense this year, that it was basically a whole new offensive coaching staff. Brian Ferentz was back, but taking over at coordinator. Ken O'Keefe was back, but as a quarterback's coach. Then you had Tim Polashek and Kelton Copeland, new guys on the staff. You know, I think with them having that year under their belt to kind of see things with a brand new starting quarterback, some moving pieces on that offensive line. They've got experience now coming back on the offensive line. You know, Tristan Wirfs and Alaric Jackson have gone through some growing pains, but hopefully that makes them better next year. Same with Nate Stanley. Yeah, the running game, we'll have to see how they make up for the losses of Akram Wadley and James Butler, but I think Torrin Young and Ivory Kelly Martin are certainly capable of doing that. I think the wide receivers, that wasn't going to be an overnight fix. I think, you know, we saw with Amir Smith-Marset, Brandon Smith, Max Cooper got their feet wet this year, so hopefully they take a step forward next year. I'm excited about this offense. I think, and I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the tight ends. Noah Fant and TJ Hawkinson are both really high-level tight ends. So I think this offense has a chance next year, and I don't think Kirk would come out and say that he thinks they have a chance to be real good next year unless he believed that. So we still have to see it on paper, but I love the potential of this offense.
Number six.
Getting paid.
Yeah, that's the story in Major League Baseball today. A lot of players filing for arbitration, and the deals are being struck between the both sides, the players and the teams. And we saw a record set today for Chris Bryant, who was arbitration eligible for the first time. A new major league record, $10.85 million. Probably only a couple years or so before that'll be broken. But needless to say, it was a pretty anticlimactic day for the Cubs, as well as most baseball franchises. But it's always interesting to see this play out. And the arbitration process often opens the door for a little acrimony between players and the teams that they're currently playing for, but I don't necessarily see any of that popping up where teams are so far apart that they wind up insulting the players and leading to wanting to be traded or wanting out. But a couple signings of note today, Manny Machado, a one-year deal with the Orioles. They're expected to explore trading him at the trade deadline. And then the Blue Jays came to an agreement with Josh Donaldson on a one-year deal. He's also said to be on the market with the St. Louis Cardinals, coveting his services and looking forward to. But and we'll get to another baseball topic coming up in just a little bit. It's nice to see some actual baseball news today on the first day of Cubs convention in Chicago, which I went to a couple years ago, and I probably will never wind up going to again. It's a little overwhelming, but the Cubs, needless to say, are setting the town on fire tonight in downtown Chicago.
Number 7.
Ball game.
Yeah, I hesitate to bring this up and probably should have.
Or it's an ESPN affiliate, we're supposed to.
Okay, so but is it okay?
It's in the marching orders.
Yes. I'm going to leave the LeVar Ball family circus.
Good comic, by the way.
Yes, very good comic. And it seems to be just one of those sports stories that ESPN just cannot leave alone. They kind of built this thing up by having LeVar on whatever their talking head shows are that they have, and Fox has done the same thing with him, and sent Jeff Goodman during the middle of basketball season, one of their lead basketball writers, over to Lithuania to cover LiAngelo and LaMelo's debut with their Lithuanian team. And then interviewed him over there, where he ripped Luke Walton, the Los Angeles Lakers coach, who coaches his oldest son, Lonzo Ball. And it met with some backlash, thankfully, from Stan Van Gundy, Rick Carlisle, even Dick Vitale took a shot. And Van Gundy even refused to give ESPN extra access, the normal extra access they get before games, because of the way he felt that ESPN was giving LeVar this stage to criticize another NBA coach. So, you know, I think enough is enough. I know it's not going to go away because it's getting viewers, it's getting clicks. But I've long been past the LeVar Ball 15 minutes of fame, and I will leave this for somebody else.
Number 8.
Waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah, we had a good conversation with some Minnesota Vikings fans in hour number one of the program tonight. Minnesota, a 5-point favorite over New Orleans, which is it's a tough matchup, but they've got home field advantage, U.S. Bank Stadium, also the site for Super Bowl 52 this year. And I sympathize with Vikings fans. I mentioned this. I think there are some parallels to being a Chicago Cubs fan, where for 108 years or for a large part of 108 years, the storyline was, how are they going to shoot themselves in the foot again? And finally, in 2016, Chicago was able to put that in the rearview mirror. And the Vikings franchise in the NFL, while not around for nearly as long, has had its fair share, more than its fair share, of disappointing playoff moments. And you have a lot of gun-shy Vikings fans that are trying to get excited or be excited about this season and the possibility of getting to the Super Bowl and playing it in the Twin Cities. But on the other hand, they're also sort of just waiting for the other shoe to drop here. And I'm telling you right now, I like Minnesota's chances. I took them in the pick six, cover the 5, head off to the NFC Championship game, and I think they're going to be sleeping in their own beds for the Super Bowl. Call it a gut feeling.
Number 9.
My next guest.
Yes, and I very much love this. I haven't seen it yet. My next guest needs no introduction is David Letterman's new show on Netflix, which dropped this morning on Netflix. His first guest is Barack Obama, and I believe John Lewis from Georgia is also on the show. Not the David Letterman that we grew up with, you know, Larry Bud Melman and dropping TV sets off of large or tall buildings and, you know, the top 10 and all the hijinks that happened, you know, for years with the David Letterman show, which I grew up with and loved. But I think Dave's strength has always been his ability to interview people, you know, come up with insightful questions, but also listen to his guests, which is something I always try to work on when I'm interviewing people, to get, you know, listen to what you're being told and work off of that. And he does such a great job with that. And I'm really looking forward to this. There's no monologue. It's basically just Dave and the guests sitting in a couple of big leather chairs and talking. And he'll have, he'll have intriguing guests on there, I'm sure. And I believe this is Obama's first interview since leaving office. So I'm interested to see kind of what the dialogue will be there. I think it was filmed in the fall, so it won't be completely current. But, you know, it's just good to see Dave back. He's going to have the beard, too, going, which he calls the aging vagrant look, which I love. So I love having Dave back. I miss him off TV. So I definitely love this and can't wait to watch this. I think I'm going to watch it when I get home tonight.
Number 10.
We saw a lot of aging vagrants in New York City, but yes. We did not see Dave Letterman.
I've got a little bit of the aging vagrant look, so I can relate. The cold stove.
Yeah, the cold stove. Normally, you're talking about the hot stove this time of year with Major League Baseball, but got a lot of free agents out there that just are waiting to be signed, and I don't know if I've seen an off season quite like this in some time. I know there have been some veiled allusions back to the mid-'80s where you had some players that were hanging out there, and Andre Dawson type situation where ball clubs were hesitant to pay the type of money that players were asking for. But you've just got the dollars and cents are so astronomical now that clubs are taking their time here and waiting to see if they can get the players to come down a little bit on their asking price. It's sort of a game of chicken almost. And meanwhile, we sit here waiting to see where guys like Jake Arrieta, J.D. Martinez are going to wind up playing. And that's the cold stove on the Major League Baseball side. The hot stove, Colonel's Hot Stove Banquet, though, looking forward to that next Wednesday. And Kyle tells me that we're going to have Twins catcher Mitch Garver on the show on a Monday. He'll be in town on Wednesday for the hot stove banquet, so looking forward to catching up with Mitch, who the only thing I held against Mitch when he was here was Mitch played college baseball at New Mexico and was a big fan of the men's basketball coach there. And I said, I got stories.
Strike one.
Yeah. He said, I got stories too. And he told his Alford stories, and I said, you know what? A tomato, tomato, to each their own. That'll do it for Love It or Leave It.
And if you don't love it, leave it.
Take a quick timeout. We come back. Kyle's going to have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you as Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire, continues. And then it's off to hour number three, back after this.
Welcome back, Hawkeyes. Iowa Book's goal this week is to make your shopping easy. Iowa Book has added extra staff, extra cash registers, and is open extra hours. Come in early and save money by choosing less expensive used or rental textbooks. Iowa Book also has all your necessary school supplies and Hawkeye gear. Iowa Book is open this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday till 6 o'clock. Downtown Iowa City, across from the old Capitol since 1920.
Iowa Book! A one-of-a-kind bookstore.
5:57, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with you until 7 o'clock tonight. Make sure you're voting in the poll question at KGYMradio.com with regard to the NFL playoff games this weekend. We'll give you the results before we're out of here tonight. James Daniels, the former Hawkeye heading to the NFL, set to join us next. Before we can get to hour number three, got to get you another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One with over 40 locations across the corridor for all your banking needs. Here's Kyle.
It didn't always look like it was going to happen, but the Iowa men got their first conference victory last night in overtime on the road to Illinois, 104-97. They trailed by as many as 20 points in the first half, but came alive offensively and on the boards in the second. The second half in overtime saw the Hawkeyes commit only 6 turnovers and, just as importantly, claim a 27-14 rebounding advantage. The Illini even hit a potentially devastating game-tying 3 at the buzzer, but Iowa went on to win in overtime. Luca Garza had 19-11, Tyler Cook had 21-13, and Jordan Bohannon scored a game-high 29. The win by Iowa is the first conference victory for Iowa's 3 state universities. It's one Cyclone in and one Cyclone out for the Utah Jazz. They'll reportedly be signing forward George Niang to a 2-way deal, so he'll be spending time with the Salt Lake City Stars, but that also came with the waiving of Naz Mitru-Long. Niang is averaging 18.6 rebounds and nearly 5 assists per game, formerly with the Warriors G League affiliate. Tonight after the show, we're going to have a pair of high school games for you on 1600 AM. The historic main gym will have the Prairie Boys hosting Waterloo East beginning at 7:30. And at the same time, we'll also have the girls from Cedar Rapids, Washington, traveling to Iowa City West on 106.3 FM, the South Gym, as well as 107.5 FM, the North Gym. We'll also have nonstop action for you tomorrow, including the Iowa State men hosting Baylor on 1600 AM at 1 o'clock, followed by the Falcons and Eagles, and then the Titans and Patriots in a pair of NFL divisional matchups. A
couple weeks ago, we talked to his brother, LaShawn Daniels. James is going to be with us next as he gears up for life in the NFL. You're not going to want to miss it. The Todd Bromelkamp Show continues after this.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Okay, time out. You're going to let your budget be the boss of you? Take control with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay for car insurance, and we'll help you find options that fit your budget. Here's some music to get you pumped. Da-dong-da-dong-da-dong-da-dong-dang-dang. I hear your budget laughing at you. Oh, wait, that's just those kids laughing at me. Ignore them!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When the game is on the line, you put the ball in the hands of your best player, a veteran, one who's known to perform under pressure. At Valvoline, we believe great performance comes from hands-on expertise. That's why there's Valvoline Max Life. After 75,000 miles, use Valvoline Max Life to treat the hidden signs of aging and help extend the life of your engine. Valvoline, 150 years under the hood. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts now and buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Max Life and a filter for $24.99. See store for restrictions.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm John Ryder. Steelers star wideout Antonio Brown is expected to play in Sunday's divisional playoff game against the Jaguars. Brown is almost 1 month removed from a partially torn calf muscle. Pittsburgh suffered a home loss to Jacksonville back in Week 5 in October. Jaguars defensive lineman Malik Jackson says he likes the chemistry they have.
The front office has done a great job of bringing guys in here, old and young, and we're mixed well in each room to where we have a Calais, you know, we have a Barry Church, we have a Paul Posluszny in every room to where they just share all the knowledge they have, and it helps the youth. So it's awesome to have.
Malik Jackson, a guest on ESPN Radio's Golic and Wingo. Saints receiver Brandon Coleman will miss Sunday's divisional playoff game in Minnesota with a neck injury. Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer says he hasn't made a decision whether quarterback Sam Bradford will suit up for the divisional game against New Orleans. Bradford's been out since October with a knee injury. Case Keenum will be Minnesota's starting quarterback on Sunday. NBA doubleheader tonight starting at 8 Eastern on ESPN with Milwaukee hosting Golden State. Steph Curry will miss his second straight game with a sprained right ankle. This game to be followed by Houston at Phoenix. Cavs without both Isaiah Thomas and Dwayne Wade for tonight's game at Indiana. Yankees reach one-year deals with six players to avoid arbitration, including shortstop Didi Gregorius, who gets $8.25 million for next season. Mets re-signed starter Jacob deGrom, the one-year deal worth $7.4 million. Blue Jays third baseman Josh Donaldson gets a record-setting deal for a player entering arbitration, 1 year for $23 million.
The NBA on ESPN Radio. East versus West. Steph versus LeBron. Warriors and Cavs. Monday at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
So this house is in a great neighborhood and walking distance from one of the best schools.
And what are they asking?
The asking price is only 24 years of really, really hard work.
Wow, that sounds like a lot.
Well, the house across the road just sold for a few years more.
While other insurance companies just see a house, we see the home you've worked really hard for, so why not give it the protection it deserves?
Tell you what, why don't we offer 23 years with a fast close?
We're gonna need to sleep on it.
Yeah.
State Farm. Call an agent today.
The Final Lap with Carrie Murphy is on NASCAR News now.
The 2018 class of the NASCAR Hall of Fame is going to be inducted next Friday night in Charlotte, North Carolina, with the five legends including Red Byron, Ray Evernham, Ron Hornaday Jr., Ken Squire, and Robert Yates. Here's Ray Evernham on whether or not he revolutionized the modern pit crew.
I think I was maybe responsible for bringing it a different level. You've got to go all the way back to the Wood Brothers when you look at the modern day pit crew and the focus on how important it was to shave those seconds off. You know, those guys started it. Everybody else since then has pretty much just developed it and reworked it, have pit crew coaches and trainers, and I think we might have been the first team to have a set athletic trainer and things like that over at Hendrick. It without a doubt has brought the sport to a different place. I don't want to say a different level, but it's just an area of competition that it created is very important to how you can, whether or not you can win a race or championship.
Did you know there's only 36 days until the 2018 Daytona 500, and even less if you consider cars hitting the racetrack with speed weeks and the Clash happening week before that? To be honest, this offseason flew by, didn't it? I mean, I still recall Martin Truex Jr. taking the checkered flag in that thrilling battle with Kyle Busch at Homestead Miami Speedway. And here we are, just days away from Daytona.
The final lap.
When you have your own restaurant, you have to get your hands dirty. Literally. Like, right now, I'm unclogging my grease trap. I also print my own menus every day, so I rely on Staples for great deals on ink. I mean, I can't afford to run out, like my last three busboys.
Right now at Staples, buy one HP ink and get the second 30% off, so you can afford to stock up, because you can't afford to run out.
Oh, good. My sous chef just quit.
Visit Staples today and keep your ink stocked and your business moving. Ends 1/13/18. See store or staples.com for details. Restrictions may apply.
Progressive presents Get Pumped. Inspiration to help you do insurance stuff.
Hey, are you just going to stand there and let people not give you credit for being a good driver? You deserve discounts on car insurance, and that's what Snapshot from Progressive is for. So why aren't you signing up? You need music to get pumped? Hit it! Drum solo! Ow, that hurts my fingers.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California, North Carolina, or from all agents.
When something bad happens, you don't want to get sucked into the black hole of voicemail. And you certainly don't want to tell your story over and over each time you're transferred. What you want is a kind, smart person who knows your coverage top to bottom, understands how you're feeling, and helps you figure out what's next. It's really not too much to ask. At Skogman Carlson Insurance, you have a person. A real one. Get to know yours at youhaveaperson.com. Supported by Integrity Insurance.
Find out how you can bring your work to life at Frontier Co-op. Frontier Co-op will have a career fair Wednesday, January 17th from 2 to 6 p.m. at 3021 78th Street in Norway, Iowa. Stop by and learn more about employment opportunities and the great benefits of working for Frontier Co-op, including subsidized on-site childcare. Frontier Co-op is currently hiring for multiple positions and all shifts. Learn how you can bring your work to life. Attend the Frontier Co-op Career Fair Wednesday, January 17th from 2 to 6 p.m. in Norway. View current openings at frontiercoop.com. Frontier Co-op is an equal opportunity employer.